LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
How soon can you deploy once we arrive?
It'll take us 2 hours to assemble the delivery system.
And another hour to install the bomb.
That's longer than I'd hoped.
Just remember, without us, you'd be delivering your payload in weeks instead of hours.
If we succeed today, the Arabs and the West will destroy each other.
Were you able to pick up anything on Gradenko?
No. The Glasgow Street house was deserted.
I think I might have a lead.
What is it?
Charles Logan.
Logan? He said his retreat under house arrest.
So, you need Gradenko to find Fayed.
Can you help us?
I never dealt with Gradenko directly, but I know how we can find him.
How?
Through Anatoly Markov. He's the Russian consul general here in Los Angeles.
I don't trust you.
If you want to find Gradenko, maybe it's time you started.
You're taking a great risk, Mr. President.
You and I are both sharing that risk, sir. We have 3 more nuclear weapons loose in my country. I want a public statement of support from your prime minister, and I want it to follow right on the heels of Assad's.
A public endorsement of him could have grave political consequences for the prime minister.
Then you tell your prime minister that we have a carrier group operating less than 25 miles off his shores.
It's armed.
President's gonna die. There's nothing you can do about it.
You've got to put a stop to this, Reed.
Sir, there must have been a moment when you were on board with this plan. Did you change your mind along the way?
I need to know. I was against you from the start. You're just as bad as Fayed.
All right, here we go for a run through, everyone.
What is this?
Bomb! Get out!
Get out! Citadel has been hit. Send a medical team. I repeat, Citadel is down. Send a medical team now.
The following takes place between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
This is Hawkins. We've reached emergency med bay in prison. I want you to stay posted outside, understood?
Yes, sir.
President Palmer is wheeled into surgery. Jack escorts Logan to a waiting car.
Sir?
Got it, thank you. Let me be clear about this before we go anywhere. You are a federal prisoner under my custody. You do not make a move unless I tell you to. You understand me?
You don't have to threaten me, Jack. I know what my role is. I just want to be of service.
As far as I'm concerned, you'll never do anything that'll erase what you've already done.
I understand your anger. I do. But if you want to find Gradenko, we should leave now.
Get in the car.
Logan obeys, getting into the rear of the large black limousine. Jack gets in on the other side. The car pulls away, sandwiched between 2 large black SUVs. Logan stares pensively out of the window.
I haven't been outside these gates in over a year. I'm sorry, Jack. You don't need me to tell you what it's like to be locked up.
You're right, I don't.
But I know how it feels to be locked away from the rest of the world. Lonely. The silence. Plays with your sanity. But in that silence, you can hear the voice of your deepest self. And if you listen to that voice, you have a chance to heal.
Power.
Jack, it's Bill. Are you on your way to the consulate?
Yes.
Before you get there, you need to know something. There was an assassination attempt on President Palmer.
He was wounded, but we don't know the extent of his injuries yet.
Oh, my God. How did this happen?
Details are still coming in. Secret Service thinks it was Assad.
What?
They think he smuggled some kind of explosive device into the White House bunker.
Bill, that doesn't make sense. Assad was working with the president to stop Fayed.
That's what he said he was doing.
He wasn't lying.
He's dead, Jack. It doesn't matter if it was him or not. He can't help us stop Fayed. Which means you're following our only live lead.
I understand. I'll get back to you as soon as I'm at the consulate.
All right.
What happened?
There was an assassination attempt on Wayne Palmer.
Logan looks shocked. As the surgeons work away over the prone body of Wayne Palmer, Reed Pollock stands on the other side of the door looking in through the window. He turns away to make a call.
Excuse me, Mr. Pollock.
Yes, what do you want?
The vice president is being telebriefed in the conference room. The SecDef wants Mr. Lennox there.
Well, Mr. Lennox is occupied. I'm covering for him.
Dr. Welton is monitoring the medical team, so I've asked him to brief us directly on the president's condition.
Mr. Vice President.
Go ahead.
We're still trying to stabilize President Palmer. He was hit by shrapnel, which entered his upper chest and neck. He didn't suffer any direct head wounds, but he is unconscious.
Can you determine when he might be able to resume his presidential duties?
Sir, the president was within 10 feet of a high-velocity explosive device.
That he survived at all is a miracle.
Mr. Vice President, as Secretary of Defense, I'm the ranking member of this committee, and I think I can speak for all of us when I say we have no way of knowing when or if the president will recover enough to function.
We need to proceed under the assumption that the president's duties are now yours.
The vice president, addressing the meeting via a video link from his plane, thinks deeply as if stunned by the sudden increase in his responsibilities.
I'm going to be landing in a few minutes. As soon as I get there, I want a full security briefing from Tom Lennox.
Yes, sir. We'll see you here soon.
Please submit your task profiles to my office. We'll reconvene when the Vice President gets here. Reed?
Where the hell is Tom Lennox?
I believe that he's conferencing with the Attorney General.
I just spoke with the AG. He's had no contact with him.
Then I'm not sure.
You work for the man? You don't know where he is?
President Palmer was expecting him in the broadcast studio, and he didn't show up.
Tom Lennox is missing. Have your team sweep the bunker. Find him.
Yes, sir. 10:20 on Tom Lennox. This is a priority request from the SecDef.
As the security team embark on their task, Reed Pollock slips away and scurries down the corridor. In the utility room, Carson talks to Lennox.
You had the clarity to understand how to keep this country safe. But the president was an obstacle. We did what was necessary.
Pollock enters.
Is he dead?
No, but he's injured badly enough that he won't be able to serve. The Secret Service is looking for Lennox. They're sweeping the bunker.
Let me handle him while there's still time.
No.
Look, I told you before, I can make it look like a suicide. The situation will support it. He was depressed after the president rejected his plan.
No, we cannot kill Tom Lennox.
Why not?
Because we're not murderers. What we did was necessary for the sake of national security. Killing Lennox is just about us trying to cover our involvement.
Getting caught? Never part of the plan.
Don't touch him.
Or what?
Or you'll have to kill me, too. Listen, I know Tom Lennox. He can be reasoned with.
Carson shakes his head and crosses back to the other side of the room. Pollock looks round to where Lennox remains bound and gagged. Pollock crosses to Lennox, bends down, and peels off his gag.
So you really did it.
Only because it had to be done. You were the one who warned us all that the logic of this current engagement would demand extreme action. You said that for the greater good, individuals would need to be sacrificed.
I wasn't referring to the President of the United States.
Sir, the President's policies would have aided the enemy. They may have been well-intentioned, but they were naive and they were dangerous, and you know that. Vice President Daniels is running this country now. He will implement your security plan. But if you implicate us, it will only drag you into this, and it will make your security plan that much harder to push through.
I'm the one who tried to stop you, Reed.
They'll never believe you. Sure, the only way to stop these nuclear weapons from being detonated on U.S. soil is through the proposals in your security plan.
And all I have to do is do nothing.
Yes. Carson has matched the bomb signature to a design used by Assad's organization. The FBI will put this all on Assad. No one needs to know the truth.
I don't know.
Sir, a guilty conscience is a fair price to pay for the survival of this country.
They're coming.
Do you understand the situation, sir?
I do understand, Reed.
I know that you will do the right thing. Good. I'm gonna cut him loose.
Carson fetches his briefcase as Pollock cuts through Lennox's bonds. Together, the three men head out of the utility room. They encounter the agent sweeping the bunker for Lennox.
Mr. Lennox, are you all right?
Yes, Agent Lowry.
Sir, the Secretary of Defense has been looking for you.
Lennox straightens his tie and eyes Pollock and Carson, as does Lowry. Lennox crosses to stand with Lowry and his team.
Agent Lowry, these men are responsible for the attempted assassination of the president. I'm surrendering myself into custody till I can talk to the Attorney General, but I want them arrested now.
Carson and Pollock, seemingly stunned, are led away. Lennox exchanges a defiant look with Pollock as he goes. 5:12, end of part 1. Part 2, 5:16. The Vice President emerges from the hatch door of his jet.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Lisa.
I've sifted through the latest flashes. These are the ones you need to take a look at.
I went over everything on the plane. I want to follow up on the one from CTU.
I'll get them on the line.
CTU.
I have the Vice President calling for Mr. Buchanan.
Hold, please.
This is Bill Buchanan.
Sir, one moment for the Vice President.
Bill, I see from the White House flashes that President Palmer granted Charles Logan some kind of furlough. I'm curious as to what circumstances could possibly have led to that.
Logan claims he can help us find Dmitry Gordenko, the man who supplied the terrorists with the suitcase nukes.
How?
Through the Russian consul in Los Angeles.
Logan believes this man will know how to find Gordenko.
He insisted on approaching the consul in person.
I'm frankly surprised President Palmer trusted Charles Logan to conduct any business on the government's behalf.
I believe the president's decision was informed
by the fact that we have no other active leads on Gordenko.
Is Logan being supervised?
Yes, by one of our agents, Jack Bauer.
Bauer's been instructed to keep Logan on a short leash.
You keep me posted to any progress. And as soon as this plays out, I want him back under house arrest.
Yes, sir.
Logan and Jack get out of their limousine.
You can come with me into the consulate, but I need to speak to Markov alone.
You don't leave my sight.
And this is a waste of time. Markov won't tell us what we need to know if you're in the room.
I don't let you out of my sight.
What do you think I'm going to do in there, Jack? Request asylum? If it's any comfort, I don't think the Russians would take me.
Fine. You can talk to the consul on your own, but I will be right outside the door. You try and move more than 20 feet away from me, and I will know.
I'm going to prove you wrong, Jack. I'm only trying to help.
Together, they walk up the steps to the consulate. 5:18.
The consul is expecting you, Mr. President. Follow me, please.
Logan is led away, leaving Jack standing in the lobby. A guard indicates a place for Jack to stand. Logan is ushered into Markov's office.
Mr. President.
Anatoly.
It's good to see you.
It's a pleasure, sir.
How have you been?
Very well. Still trying to do my best for my country. As much as circumstances will allow, of course.
Of course. My sincere sympathies to your people for the tragedy this morning. You have condolences and support of my country.
Thank you.
So, how can I help you?
The bomb that exploded this morning was a Russian suitcase nuclear device supplied to the terrorists by Dmitry Gordenko.
Barkov looks dubious and cuts the end off a fat cigar which he holds out towards Logan.
No, thank you. I don't smoke anymore.
Barkov closes the cigar box and slowly sits.
Mr. President, those weapons were destroyed as part of our treaty.
We're certain of our facts, Anatoly. But I didn't come here to make accusations. I came here because we need to know where Gradenko is.
I will ask Moscow to try to locate him immediately.
I'm not asking Moscow. I'm asking you. I know that you two are close, and you have been ever since you fought together in Afghanistan. So, I ask again, where is he?
I don't know. Give it to me. Dmitri and I were close for many years, but not now.
Forgive my lack of diplomacy, but I don't believe you. And I'm willing to force the issue. Moscow has always suspected that someone inside the Russian government helped supply the Centaux nerve gas to the separatists 2 years ago. I have the tapes, Anatoly, of every phone call you made to my people. I will send them to President Suvorov.
You gave me your word that my role would remain secret.
My promise was rendered null and void by the fact that the terrorists that Gradenko was helping have three more bombs.
I haven't spoken to Gradenko for more than 1 year.
I will send the tapes. You'll be recalled to Moscow, and you will never be heard of again.
You can send all the tapes you like. Destroy me many times over. I do not know where Gradenko is.
Logan calmly stares at Markov, who glares back, his face having turned extremely ugly.
All right, Anatoly, I believe you. Please forgive my tactics. I'm trying to save people's lives. So, if you know of anyone else who might still be in contact with Gradenko.
Markov stands.
I will make calls. But, as far as I know, everyone else has cut off contact with Dmitri as well.
Any support will be greatly appreciated.
Of course.
Anatoly?
President.
They shake hands and Logan re-emerges into the lobby. Jack leaps into action and heads for the door and speaks into his earpiece. He opens the door for Logan, then they exit the building. 5:22.
Откройте, пожалуйста, ворота, Пир.
He says he hasn't spoken to Gradenko in a year. He's lying. They're still in contact. And he knows enough about what's going on to want to deny that.
How do you know?
Because I've done enough lying myself to be familiar with the signs.
Logan gets back into the car. At Gradenko's desert hideout.
Yes?
The United States has connected you with terrorists.
Are you sure?
They sent Charles Logan to try and force me to give up your location.
The reason we brought the Arabs into this was to conceal our involvement. Now we're exposed. Russia is exposed.
The Americans are speculating. They have no evidence. If they did, they would not have sent Logan.
I don't know.
Don't worry, Dmitri. By the time they find anything, it will be too late.
All right. Let me know if you hear anything more.
Gradenko walks briskly across to where his men continue arming the drone.
Drive through the front gates, pull over as soon as you're out of sight of the guards.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do?
Ryan.
Chloe, it's Jack. I need you to gain access to the DWP server. I want you to disable the power going to the Russian consulate as soon as you can. Chloe, you need to do this under the radar.
How long do you need the power out for?
60 seconds. Make it look like a grid failure in case the consulate tries to contact the DWP.
I'll get back to you when I'm ready.
Are you going back in there?
Jack, you just spent nearly 2 years in a Chinese prison because you violated the sovereignty of their consulate. Now you plan to go back into the Russian consulate and take a chance on that happening again?
Jack casts a look of concern over his shoulder. 529. A caption reads, Andrews Air Force Base. Karen Hayes listens to the news on her mobile.
Approaches in the Pacific time zone. Hazmat teams and emergency crews in Valencia, California continue to search for survivors, while the official death toll stands at just over 12,000. And the number is rising.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm still at the airport waiting for my plane. Why?
What's up?
About a half hour ago, there was an attempt made on President Palmer's life.
What?
They won't know the full extent of his injuries until he regains consciousness.
There's been nothing of this in the news.
It hasn't been made public yet. The vice president's on his way back to the White House. He's already assumed executive duties.
I have to go back.
You think Daniels will have you back? You've already tendered your resignation.
Nothing's been processed. Technically, I can withdraw my resignation.
I've got to go back, Bill.
Look, I'll call you when I get there, okay?
All right. Once we're settled in, I want to go over an annotated copy of the Lennox proposal. I'll need you to work up a distribution list.
Daniels gets into a lift with Lisa, his blonde aide.
The president rejected that plan.
What's your point?
Don't you think it might be a little too soon to enact it?
Lisa, a Muslim terrorist has set off a bomb inside the White House. They think we've delayed this far too long.
Daniels emerges into the bunker to be met by a line of officials headed up by the defense secretary.
Vice President?
I don't either. What's the president's condition?
Well, they've managed to stabilize him, but it's still too soon to make a prognosis. Something else has come up.
He raises his eyebrows. Daniels takes the hint and dismisses Lisa. They walk away.
There's been a development in the investigation of the assassination attempt. Tom Lennox has remanded himself into custody.
Lennox? What are you talking about?
Just about 2 hours ago. That's when Reed first hinted that there was a plot against the president.
But you waited an hour before you tried to report it.
Because there was nothing actionable. It was just all innuendo. I was simply trying to wait and find out more. By the time I realized they were making their move, Reed caught me trying to alert Agent Hollister.
That's when he struck you over the head and tied you up.
That's correct.
So when you provided Bruce Carson's clearance into the White
House? No, I didn't provide anybody clearance. Reed stole my clearance car.
And gave these men the president's classified itinerary, and you were just pretending.
Yes.
Or maybe it's just that you had second thoughts.
Lennox gapes at being thus traduced. Daniels enters the interrogation room.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Lennox alone, please.
Yes, sir.
Lowry gets up, and giving the nod to his assistants, exits with them. Lennox sits, looking uncomfortable. Daniels turns a wary gaze on him.
I tried to stop this, Noah.
I'd like to believe you, Tom. But I'll leave it to the Justice Department to determine your role in this, as well as Assad.
Assad? They were setting him up. He had nothing to do with this.
You don't know that. It's my understanding you suggested that others, besides Reed and this man, Carson, may have been involved.
Only because Reed implied as much. I was just trying to ferret out who else might be involved.
Did you? Then it is conceivable that Assad may have been at the very least a willing participant in this attack.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Assad was a terrorist who hated this country and everything it stands for. What better way for him to rally his people than to martyr himself by murdering the President of the United States?
Don't you understand that is exactly what Reed and Carson wanted this to look like? And now you're playing right into it.
I am going to address the nation shortly to inform the public about what's happened. Until I have all the facts, I am not about to tell them that Hamri al-Assad is innocent in this.
I see what you're doing here, Noah. By scapegoating Assad, you'll be able to reverse the president's agenda, get even more aggressive with the Islamic community. You think I don't see what you're doing here?
It's your plan, Tom. You outlined those measures yourself. I was your staunchest advocate.
What has happened to the president is horrific. But if there is any good to come from this, it's that we now have the opportunity to do what we both know is in the best interest of protecting this country.
You're asking a whole heck of a lot more than for me just to maintain silence on Assad.
The cabinet knows that you are the architect of the plan. If you're not on the face of it now, it may raise questions. Or have you come to believe the president was correct in rejecting your proposals?
No, I know. It's the only way to stop these attacks.
Then you can stick to your assertion of Assad's complete innocence. Or I can clear you of these charges and you can help me to initiate your plan, which we both know is in the best interest of the country.
Lennox, wide-eyed, struggles to process all this. Daniels, his craggy face grave and his bulky form threatening, passes back out into the corridor.
Agent Lowry. I don't want Mr. Lennox's statement promoted to the Attorney General till it's gone through my office.
Yes, sir.
End of part two. Jack clambers over a high wall and down into the rear yard of the consulate. He peers around the angle of a wall and clocks the CCTV camera panning round the area. He removes his earpiece and then tucks his head down and walks towards the building. A side door at the top of some steps opens and a guard addresses him in Russian. In response to the guard's challenge of "What are you doing here?", Jack fluently responds, "I was ordered to guard the rear of the building." The guard appears satisfied. Jack observes the man walk down the steps and towards the front of the building. Jack answers his phone.
Yeah, I've logged onto the DWP server. You have a 60-second window before the building circuits kick back in.
Hold on.
Jack circumspectly climbs the steps to the side of the building. He tucks in next to the security camera, eyeing it warily.
Shut it down now.
The camera goes dead, and Jack takes advantage of this to slip in through the side door.
What is happening?
I don't know. Something's wrong.
You check the upper level, I check the lower level.
Got it.
Jack stands close to a functional white door and then, drawing his gun, enters. Markov stands up.
What is this?
Here's where I can see them.
What he's doing, sending you here.
Where's Gudenko?
I told him, I don't know.
We know you're lying. Get your hands away from the desk now! Sit down!
You're breaking international law, violating sovereignty of the consulate.
I don't have time to ask nicely. Where's Gudenko?
I don't know, I swear.
Listen to us.
I'm not sure what's happening. When the power came back on, the consul's panic button was triggered.
Consul Markov, are you all right?
I've taken the consul hostage at gunpoint. If you make any attempt to enter this room, I will kill him. Do you understand me?
Why not with these menace? An alert must go.
Why not?
The consular guard kick into action. Jack, alone with the unconscious Markov, makes a call.
CTU operations.
Miss Jack, let me speak to Buchanan.
Jack Bauer on line one.
What's going on, Jack?
Bill, I got a situation. Logan's play didn't work, so I came back to the consulate to talk to Markov myself before I could get any information from him. I was discovered. I barricaded myself in his office, but I don't know how much more time I've got.
It's Russian territory. I can't sanction what you're doing.
I know, Bill. I'm calling because you need to call the White House and advise them.
I want you to stand down. Find a way out.
I'm not going anywhere until Markov tells me how to find Gudenko. I'll get back to you as soon as I've got something.
Jack looks around in concern. 5:43. Markov, his nose bloody, snivels on the couch. Vice President Daniels glides through into the glass-fronted presidential office. He slowly walks around the side of the desk and looks back towards the door. He touches the edge of the desk almost gingerly. He sits at the desk and takes his chin in his hand. Lisa enters.
Mr. Vice President, the press secretary has set up for your televised address. You'll be going live in approximately 10 minutes.
Thank you, Lisa. Have you finished drafting my statement?
I'll have it for you momentarily. I thought you should know I just received word Karen Hayes has withdrawn her resignation. She's on her way here now.
Do we know what prompted her resignation in the first place?
Officially, it was to return to Los Angeles to be with her husband. But rumor has it she stepped down because of her opposition to the Lennox plan.
I see.
Mr. Vice President, I have Bill Buchanan on the line.
This is the Vice President.
Sir, a situation has developed at the Russian consulate.
What kind of situation?
Jack Bauer has taken Russian Consul Markov hostage. He's holding him at gunpoint inside the consulate.
What? How could that happen?
Markov denied having any contact with Rudenko, but Logan insisted he was lying. When the escort left the consulate, Bauer went back to question Markov. That's when he was discovered.
God.
Daniel stands and paces as if beside himself.
Did you approve these actions?
No, sir. Bauer acted on his own authority.
And the questionable assumption of Charles Logan.
Sir, Bauer has absolutely no reason to trust Charles Logan. Yet he was convinced enough to take the action that he did.
In any event, he's created a diplomatic mess.
If Markov has information that could lead us to Grudenko, then extracting it is our only chance
to stop the next nuke from being detonated.
Excuse me, sir.
Not now, Lisa.
Sir, it's President Suvorov.
Bill, I don't know how long I can hold off the Russians. If Markov is connected to these nukes, Bauer better get it out of him fast.
Yes, sir.
Daniels accepts the phone handed him by Lisa. He seems to be taking a couple of moments to collect himself before taking the call.
Mr. President, this is Vice President Daniels.
I was expecting to speak to President Palmer.
My apologies, I'm afraid he's unavailable.
Unavailable?
Sir, I'm speaking on his authority. I assume that you're calling about the incident at your consulate. But let me assure you, this man is acting on his own and not under the orders or authority of the United States government.
Nevertheless, this is a gross violation of our sovereignty.
If your agent does not stand down immediately, my country will have no choice but to retaliate with the most forceful diplomatic measures at our disposal.
I understand your position, Mr. President, but before you escalate this, you should understand mine.
We've learned that Consul Markov is most likely in contact with Dmitry Gradenko, who we've linked to the nuclear attack that took place on U.S. soil this morning. If that's true, we will look upon him as a co-conspirator in the attack.
Mr. Vice President, I deeply regret the tragedy that your country has experienced today, but you must make these charges through proper diplomatic channels after your agent has surrendered.
I want to know where Gradenko is and what he's doing.
I don't know. I haven't spoken to Gradenko since he arrived in the United States.
I never said he was in the United States. Why don't I tell you what we know? We already know that Gradenko supplied Fayed with the 5 suitcase nukes. What doesn't make sense is why he's still involved, unless, of course, he's doing something else for Fayed. That's what we want to know. What is Gradenko doing for Fayed? You're gonna start losing your fingers one by one. This is your last chance.
Jack has picked up Markov's own cigar scissors, which he now uses to carry out his threat.
I've got the feed. Don't move in yet. He's too close to Markov.
You have one of two choices. You can either give me the information that I want, and I'll go pick up Gradenko. Or I can kill you. And I'll make sure Gradenko finds out. And he'll panic. because he'll think you gave him up before you died, before he uses exit route. Either way, he stops what he's doing in this country now. The choice is yours. How do I find Gradenko?
I'll have it as Shadow Valley.
Where in the Shadow Valley?
No.
What is he doing? What is he doing?
Launching drones. Aerial drones for Fayed. His delivery system for nuclear bombs.
How soon will the drones be ready?
2 hours. In 2 hours, all the bombs will be in the air.
Bitch.
Markov laughs as Jack heads for the door, which suddenly blows inwards. Jack is violently apprehended and pushed against the doorframe. Markov storms across.
Don't let anyone near this man, do you understand?
...549, end of part 3. 554, Daniels addresses the nation.
My fellow Americans, I regret to inform you that a short time ago, President Palmer was seriously injured in an assassination attempt at the White House. Thankfully, he is alive and currently in stable condition. The prime suspect, Hamri al-Assad, was killed in the explosion. And in light of this heinous and cowardly act, compounded by the tragedy in California, I will be pushing forward an aggressive agenda of national security. One that will, out of necessity, suspend certain civil liberties. This is the price of war. Make no mistake. That is exactly what this is.
We weren't able to reach Jack.
No, but my system will confirm he did try to call him.
Are we monitoring communications in and out of the Russian consulate?
We are, but diplomatic traffic is encrypted with an advanced algorithm that we've never been able to crack. But I think I have a way around that. One of the computers at the consulate isn't properly shielded, so I'm picking up a digital shadow of their messages before they're encrypted. Look.
What's that?
ASCII code.
It is?
Yeah, in Russian. Just have to load a Cyrillic grid. Should be good to go. This minute, yet you could have... Oh, no. They're saying they've got an American agent in custody.
Forceful and decisive action needs to be taken. I promise you.
Buchanan.
Sir Morse just intercepted some bandwidth from the Russian consulate. Apparently they got to Jack.
What do you mean, got to him?
They moved in on his position and recovered Markov. Sir, they're holding Jack prisoner. Sir, we probably should inform the Vice President.
No, not yet. He's in a diplomatic standoff with Suvorov. He won't get anywhere with a direct appeal.
So what's our next move?
Have Special Ops draw up a plan to get into the consulate. I want to give the Vice President the option to take the consul by force. And hopefully rescue Jack.
Прочешите все здание. Убедитесь, что американец был один.
Слушаюсь, мы проверим все уголки.
556. Jack sits bound to a chair. The head of consulate security enters the room. Jack addresses him.
Enough. Please, you have to listen to me.
I'm not allowed to talk to you.
That's because your consul doesn't want you to hear what I know. Dmitry Gradenko was responsible for supplying the terrorists with a nuclear bomb that was detonated earlier today. Markov is working with him, against the orders of your government.
We'll get the chance to make these allegations through the appropriate channels.
No, there's not enough time. Gradenko has 3 more bombs. They're going to find their targets by way of unmanned drone aircraft.
With the consul's knowledge? That's a ridiculous accusation.
He's the one who told me he confessed.
Under duress!
He gave me Gradenko's location. He told me the aircraft would be ready to launch within 2 hours. I know you believe me. You know about Markov's connection to Gradenko. Please, you have to help.
If you are telling me the truth, there is nothing I can do. The consul approves all communications to Moscow.
I don't want you to come, Moscow. I want you to call CTU. I want you to give them Grudenko's location and advise him of the time frame.
Where is he?
Somewhere in the high desert, in the Shadow Valley. You need to call 310-597-3781. You need to tell them you have a message for Bill Buchanan from me. My name is Jack Bauer. Please.
Hope you're telling me the truth. You're sick as well as mine.
You know I am. Otherwise, you wouldn't even consider doing this. You need to hurry.
The Russian leaves the room. 5:58. In the corridor, the Russian is about to get out his phone, but stops when he sees someone coming. Chloe continues working. The surgeons work on President Palmer. Vice President Daniels continues to get his feet under Palmer's desk. The Russian furtively slips through a door into a side corridor. He pulls out his phone and dials.
CTU?
I need to speak to Bill Buchanan.
I'm sorry, Mr. Buchanan is in a meeting. Can I take a message?
It's urgent.
One moment, please.
The Russian is shot in the head by the other main security official.
Mr. Buchanan?
Thank you, Marshal. I'll be right
there. There's a man on the line from the Russian consulate. He says it's urgent.
This is Bill Buchanan. Hello?
The attacker picks up the spent cartridge and folds up the phone. 5:59. The end.
More 24 at the same time next week. You can now watch the brand new series of Lost whenever you want on your PC. Catch up with your favourite episodes on demand at sky.com/anytime. The next episode in moments. And in an hour, Franco gets freaked out as his new love turns kidnapper. Rescue Me at 11 on Sky One.